Top shelf conversation from top shelf gentlemen.
That's a pretty emphatic situation.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And brought to you by our great friends at Window Nation. If you're in need or search and replace windows, go check them out at windownation.com. They'll take care of you the way that they take care of us. Always taken care of when we're joined on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline by our buddy Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. Jeremy, thanks for taking the time. Let's dive right in. Obviously, we're seeing some pretty wild ideas of what could be in place for college football with a spring football season or a split football season. The NFL to this point hasn't been affected by this in the sense that free agency is gone. OTAs will be canceled, so there's an effect there. And obviously the Browns and Cleveland with a new coach going to lose out on some important stuff there. But everybody's kind of in that together. The draft looks like it's going to push forward and go on. How is the NFL preparing contingency plans for this for the fall?
Well, I think everybody involved does not expect OTAs, the off-season workouts, but they're holding out hope for training camp, knowing that they have time on their side here. There's 3+ months away before you have to make hard decisions. Now, they probably have to finalize things before then, but I think they're trying to stay optimistic, which is why they've kept the status quo. Knowing that they don't have to make any major decisions right now, they can change when they need to. So, the free agency has been, at least a welcome distraction for some, and they're hoping the draft can be the same thing. The draft doesn't really harm anybody for the most part. It's the tricky part is just these players at these physicals that they can't take. That's the main issue. So you have guys that are under contract right now but really aren't signed. And so, if a team drafts a player and then, your position then decides, hey, I don't want to do that deal anymore, they actually can walk away from it because you're not signed. So that could get ugly. That would be an unfortunate byproduct of things.
Jeremy, what do you think is honestly the realistic chance? I know the NFL sent out that memo basically saying, hey, we plan on playing in the fall in front of crowded stadiums. But the longer and longer this goes, it just kind of seems like almost like a kind of like a pipe dream right now, right? Like that's wishful thinking. What do you think the realistic chances are the NFL can actually just treat everything as normal by the time we get there? And how difficult will it be that it seems like there's no, I guess, direction federally, and this is going to a state-by-state, governor-by-governor type of thing?
Yeah, well, the people that know the clearest path are the medical folks. The league is not in control of that. They have to defer to them in a lot of ways. But they're hoping that over the next 3 months that the trajectory is such where they can put, players inside a locker room or players on a field together. Now that, football has blood, sweat, and tears and a lot of different exchanges that go on a field. So there would have to be some pretty drastic changes as far as how things are sanitized, I assume. They haven't outlined anything that they want to do yet, but there would be some major concessions for players on the field and how they're tested. Now, getting a crowd in a stadium is a totally different thing. We could see a situation, I know the NBA is trying to salvage this, or at least if they could get games going that they can broadcast, make sure the players are completely safe and tested, but you wouldn't have any crowds. Now the NFL, that's not as ideal for them because you have less games, but the main goal is to be able to put on a show for television.
Yeah, and you feel like they'll do everything in their power to make sure they do that at the very least. Jeremy Fowler, our guest, ESPN senior NFL reporter. Let's do a little football stuff. If I were to have told you a year ago, 2 years ago, heck, 6 months ago, that Jadeveon Clowney, Cam Newton, and Jameis Winston would all be unsigned and available, and that teams would – I've heard very little smoke. You do this all the time. You have your ear to the ear to the noise. Are you shocked that there's nothing on these guys?
A little bit with Clowney. I thought he would go off the board in the first week. He is coveted still, but just not at the price tag he wanted. He wanted to be up in the $20 million range. That became very clear early on that wasn't going to happen. Teams have been a lot lower than that, and that's the issue. Clowney doesn't want to take 14 a year. I think at this point he would take 18. And so, I think some teams are still mulling around. The Titans are one. The Seahawks really want to re-sign him. So there's some action there. There's really minimal action with Jameis or Cam. I know Jameis has talked to a few teams, one of which had some interest in signing him, and it fell through. And so he's waiting. And then, you know, Cam, with Cam, you have to be either all in or all out. You know, with Jameis, could be a backup for you. I don't know if Cam's set up to be a backup right now, because, you know, this is an MVP. Guy's been to the Super Bowl, started a lot of games. So he probably wants to at least hold out for a starting job right now. That's why I think both guys could wait until after the draft, where if a quarterback needy team, like, say, the Chargers, it doesn't fall right for them to get a quarterback in the draft, they can circle back with Cam or Jameis.
Jeremy, is there any chance, and I agree with you, with Jameis being a little more willing to be, you know, maybe that one-year backup, prove it, you know, emergency guy kind of situation, where Cam, as you mentioned, will be more difficult. Is there any chance, and Bo and I have talked on this show, that Pittsburgh would scare the heck out of you if you're a Browns or a Bengals fan, being able to go up there behind Ben and learn and also be there in emergency if and when Ben gets hurt again? Is there any truth to that, or are we just playing Madden during a pandemic in our minds here on the show?
That's funny. I think it's probably the latter, James. I mean, I think I based on the people I've talked to, I've not heard that. You know, they really don't typically spend a lot of money on backup quarterbacks. They've been pretty set on Mason Rudolph being the number two this year. Now, you know, I would never cross it out completely. The Steelers have done crazier things, so you never know. But I don't see it. You got a quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger who wasn't happy when they drafted a third-round quarterback 2 years ago. Imagine they bring in Jameis Winston.
Right.
And they're still all in on Ben, so it doesn't make a lot of sense for them to disrupt the rhythm with their starter.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, because you say to yourself, and there aren't that many landing spots, right? I mean, that's the other thing. There aren't that many chairs at the seats at the table. New England seems like Stidham, which is hard for me to wrap my head around. But right now, it's just Stidham and Hoyer for them. Miami looks like they're clearly drafting quarterback, but they could flip it in a hurry. You would think if Flores, what he did last year with them, if they went Cam and then used those three first-round picks on position players, that'd be a dangerous team. And then the Chargers seem content with Tyrod Taylor. And Jacksonville, clearly, Jeremy, seems to me like they're going all in on Trevor Lawrence. And Minshew's like the perfect cover for that, because the fans love him. As you kind of look at those four spots, am I missing anybody else out there? But that seems to be it for me, and I don't know if any of those places are interested.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, unless a team really wants to get creative to get like a high level backup to their starter, you know, just to have a guy who's capable. You know, Green Bay comes to mind. They haven't had one in a while, but there's not a situation like Tennessee last year, because that situation is Chicago, where you have the shaky starter Mitch Trubisky, but they've already got Nick Foles. So yeah, there's not a lot of clarity there. I still feel like the Patriots have a move left. You know, they are sort of resetting right now, and they do like Stidham a lot. You know, maybe Taysom Hill, the quarterback in New Orleans, on a restricted free agent tender, maybe they can make, you know, sort of a poison pill offer to New Orleans. That would be sort of a wild card to me. But, you know, the Patriots have not tipped their hand at all. The Chargers, to me, are still the team that could do something. You know, they want to run the ball and take care of the football, and Cam can do those things for the most part. Depends on how much he wants to run at this stage of his career. But, you know, he makes some sense there for sure.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the LA Chargers, because it just seems to me baffling that with them going into SoFi Stadium, you know, and they've already struggled with that soccer stadium. You go into SoFi with Tyrod Taylor, I mean, I can't imagine what that crowd's going to look like, right? I mean, that's the last thing that the NFL is going to want. Is they're already going to struggle with attendance if the Rams don't figure it out. It looks like the Rams have stripped basically their roster down, right? Now you want Brandon Cooks traded out of there. He wants out. So what is the LA situation with the NFL? Is this just are they just accepting it? Because it looked like the Rams were a flurry. It looked like their window went from possibly 3 to 4 years to one or 2 years with the Rams. Describe the situation in LA in the NFL, and are they optimistic that it's going to get going? Because Tyrod Taylor and that Rams team right now doesn't really sell it.
Right. Well, the issue is the stadium, too. I mean, it's not done, so they're trying to get that expedited. And so, yeah, it's, I mean, there's no going back, right? I mean, they've moved both teams there, and so you're there. I don't think they're going to move off that mark. You know, the Rams still have some pieces. You know, they're all in to try to re-sign Jalen Ramsey. That still gives them two of the best defensive players in the world. You know, plus some pieces on offense, but it's not the feared attack that we saw 2 years ago, that's for sure. So they're going to have to – it's on Sean McVay to make the adjustment and sort of reset what they're doing. And, you know, with the Chargers, I still like that team, though. That's the thing. I don't know that Cam Newton sells tickets at this point. Maybe a little bit, but, like, Brady was the play there. They went and tried to get Tom Brady. It didn't work out. You know, he would have sold tickets, but I don't necessarily know that Cam Newton does. I mean, maybe a little bit, you know. But you can always get a first-round pick and try to develop him and try to get your next future star, you know, because there's still some weapons on that offense vertically with Keenan Allen and all those guys.
Jeremy, I'll get you out of here on this one. The Bengals spent money big time, which they haven't done in maybe forever, it feels like. The Browns had what appeared to be a pretty strong strategic free agent plan addressing needs that fit the offense that Kevin Stefanski wants to run. The Steelers are going to get back Ben next year to a defense that was one of the best in the league, and the Ravens did what they did to improve and went 14-2 last year with a young team that only figures to get better. How competitive, as you handicap the North and a division we pay very close attention to, and you do as well, this thing looks to be the most interesting division in football next year. I don't know if it's the best, but the most interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the Raiders have loaded up again, you know, with Calais Campbell and some pieces like that to an already really good team. So to me, they're going to be right there with the Chiefs among the AFC tops. You know, I think Pittsburgh, you know, they needed to address the tight end position a little bit just to give Bennett a more of an option over the middle. They did that with Eric Ebron, who's, you know, he's not a superstar, but he can do one thing very well, and that's go make difficult catches in the red zone. And so that will help them a great deal. Cincinnati and Cleveland are still wild cards to me a little bit. You know, you spent the money on defense with Cincinnati to get faster, which they clearly needed to do. They just looked older and a step slow last year. But you still have to make it work with a rookie quarterback, which Joe Burrow might be great, but it's going to take a little bit of time, I think. And, you know, Baker Mayfield's still an uncertainty to a lot of people after that year two he had. They have weapons around him. I think Austin Hooper will help a great deal. Still some unknowns. I'm not ready to put every team at 9 wins and above yet, but I think at least 2 can push for the playoffs.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Always good to talk to you, my friend. Thanks for your time, Jeremy.
Hey, anytime, guys. Appreciate it.